from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Cheer Show.
You ran out of here. You ran out of here like a big chicken yesterday, and you left me with the Duke. I didn't appreciate it. Just because I wanted to tie up a loose end. That's all I wanted to do. Tie up a loose end. You get so bad, you take off.
Did Duke harm you in any way?
Well, yeah.
What's that thing in your forehead? It looks like a grapefruit growing under your skin.
Yeah, well, it's down from the size of a beach ball.
Okay.
So I'm doing good. Doing good here. Tie up a real quick loose end. We're talking about the Dais of Christ, this platform. The Councils of the Heart are going to be...
Oh, sorry, you're still talking?
The Councils of the Heart are going to be manifested, yes. And that kind of stuff. And Paul, you know, in verse 10 of chapter 3, Paul says, according to the grace of God, which has been granted me as a wise form, and I lay a foundation, and another's building on it. So all this refers to what we build on the common foundation of Christ. I wanted to make sure we knew that no one can lay any other foundation except one, and that's Christ. So this reward or not reward that happens at the dais has to do with what we build on it. And Paul talks about if anyone building with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, straw. Now, this isn't literal wood. It's not literal grass. You're not building with literal straw here, okay? The things we build in this life, we're building our families, building faith. We're hearing the radio, other people, they're ambassadors of Christ. We're not talking about these literal elements, foundations. So that's why I know that the fire is figurative, right? The gold, the silver, if we're building with wood, grass, straw, in other words, if you're building bad things, if you beat your kids and all that, you're still saved, but you're beating your kids, you know?
What does fire do to wood, grass, and...
It burns it up. And what does it do to gold?
It purifies it.
It
shows how beautiful it is.
But this is all figurative, because we don't literally build with gold, and we're not literally building with straw. There are some justified members of the body of Christ who are beating their kids out there.
We can't build with...
It's going to be burned up. The bad works are going to be burned. The works are going to be burned. That's how you see the lake of fire that we're talking about in the second, that kills people, that's literal, because people die because of it. But this, there's nobody dying here. It's figurative fire, because the building elements are also figurative. It gives me a clue.
Yeah, context will tell you.
Context will tell you everything. So watch this, Dan. You're going to be really happy with this. You ready? I closed my scripture on that particular topic.
Oh, okay, good.
I feel good now.
Okay, good. Now open it back up.
Oh, okay. Where should I go?
Are we going to talk about scriptures?
Why are we so excited about the scripture?
There's one thing I want to make clear, that no doctrine is as important as the scriptures themselves. This is our guide. This is God's revelation of himself. And the first thing we need to realize is that the God who created all things chose to communicate to us with words.
Yep, that stumbles words. People.
And it's almost like Christ. It's Christ in his humiliation. They stumbled at him. They couldn't. Who's this carpenter dude, you know? And the scriptures come to us in a very... Well, is the word primitive right? A very just a common form. It comes to us in written words, and we want to talk a little bit about this over the next few days, because we want you to realize the importance of an accurate acquaintance with and a subjection to what God has said.
Yeah, and God spoke to certain people. He used words. He spoke to Abraham on the mount, and our Lord spoke, and he spoke words.
Now, did the Bible just drop out of heaven all complete, ready to go?
Yeah.
It did?
Cool. And I came to earth, at the end of the beak of a stork, you know.
Nice.
But, you know, I'm the kind of guy that also believes that Mount Rushmore is a natural rock formation, so I might not be too swift on this. You mean the Bible didn't just drop out of the sky?
No.
Do you know where that reminds me of?
What?
Childbirth.
Oh.
You know what, child, if you've seen babies born, you're actually there when your wife...
Four times.
It's not clean, is it?
No.
You know, God does things that are... So, I mean, the most beautiful thing, the birth of a child, it's messy. It's bloody. It's not. It's a horrendous. It's a shock. Were you shocked when you first saw your first child come forth?
No, I was actually saying, "Holy cow!"
I thought maybe you were passed out or something.
No.
I'm comparing this to the Word of God. If God brought babies to the stork, it would be so handy, so neat and clean. Here comes the stork. Ah, ah! Is that what stork does?
What?
That's a stork or a crow? Oh, that's a.
I hope you're really going somewhere with this because you're embarrassing me.
I am.
Continue.
Yes, I am making a point. This profound. God does not bring babies by the stork. Okay? They come in a very ugly manner. It's bloody. It's messy. There's mucus involved. Lots and lots of mucus. Likewise, you started this. Because you said, did the Bible just float out of heaven?
Would you get out of get out of
it,
man?
Did the Bible just float out of heaven? It's messy. Because
I'm
going to
throw some mucus on you if you don't get on with it.
33 men over a period of 1,500 years. You see what I'm getting at? Over 1,500 years, some of them were tax collectors, farmers, whatever, losers, a bunch of people writing at different times over a period of 1,500 years. You see what I'm saying? It's the opposite of falling out of the sky. It was messy. It didn't come at once. It didn't come by the same brand of people. It didn't come within a week. It didn't fall out with all the verses nice and neat in place. It was mucusy.
Yeah.
You see, it was all covered with mucus, and it took the Spirit of God to coalesce these apparently random people at these random times to bring us the book that we now have. It's a revelation of the ingeniousness of God.
It came in piecemeal.
Yeah.
Abraham knew more than Job. Moses knew more than Abraham. Isaiah knew more than Moses. Peter knew more than Isaiah.
I know more than you.
And Paul knew more than all of them. But the point being, there's a passage in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, by many portions and many modes. Portions, a little bit at a time. It's, you know, you get a certain portion.
Right.
And many modes. Ways
methods.
Of, yeah,
ways,
so...
Right.
Sometimes he spoke through a donkey. Sometimes he spoke through Martin Zender. Well, actually, those are the same mode. By many portions and many modes of old, God speaking to the fathers and the prophets in the last of these days speaks to us in a son. So you see, he spoke through prophets in the past, and then here in Hebrews, now he's spoken in son, who's even greater than the prophets.
You know, in the Bible days, it was a miracle when an ass spoke. Now it's a miracle if one shuts up.
And on that note, you're listening to Two Asses. So this is interesting how it all came. You know, there's a good illustration. How did these men from different walks of life, a king, a shepherd,
Peter and John, fishermen, tax collector.
And so how did these guys who didn't work together in collusion come up with a book that is accurate, 100%, it's true in its history, it's true in its geography, and it's true in its prophecies and all that other stuff. How could that possibly happen? Can you imagine? Take the medical field. Let's take the 1,500 years that within the time frame that the scriptures were
mm-hmm.
written.
Yeah.
Let's take a 1,500 year span and see all the medical books in that time.
They're probably all going to contradict each other.
What about the books on astronomy?
Same.
I mean, just think about that. They couldn't. They contradict you. These men, in over a period of 1,500 years, came up with a coherent, building on each other, scriptures that are there's nothing like it. Man couldn't write it if he wanted to.
And it was so different than the medical books and the astronomy books you're talking about, because in man's writings, they go from wrong, 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 right. You know what I mean? They're wrong for hundreds of years, and then they finally get it right. The scriptures, when we say it comes in installments and that Abraham knew more than Job or that Paul knew more than Peter, it's not that it was wrong, 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 right. It was all right, but it's just the light is the same quality. It's a different level. It's all truth. It's all right. But it's expanding and it unfolds. Love that verse from John 1:8 that the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, unfolds the counsels of God. And I look at Scripture as progressively unfolding God's plan. You have to keep following it as it goes. You can't stop anywhere. You can't build an ark. Well, it's in the Bible I built, so build an ark. Sacrifice sheep, that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
You have to keep following God's revelation. It's progressive.
The Apostle Peter says that... no prophecy of Scripture at all is becoming its own interpretation. For not by the will of man was prophecy carried on at any time, but being carried on by Holy Spirit, holy men of God speak. In other words, you have to take it all into account. Daniel can't be interpreted without revelation and vice versa.
Yeah, and Paul brings up a lot. We talk exhaustively about Paul bringing up Abraham. He rests on the Old Testament, but he stands on their shoulders and expands.
Yeah, but Paul explained it, you know, Paul using Abraham, but... You know, they didn't go into the depth of this justification. I mean, when in Genesis 15, when it says Abraham believed God and was reckoned him for righteousness,
mm-hmm.
he didn't understand it in the terms of Romans 3 and 4. That's for sure. Paul's expanding it and giving it full meaning. And so this is the importance of this scripture. This is why we say that this, what we're teaching here, comes from sources that are better than any other source. We talked about the other great religions
right.
of the world. And they have their books, so-called, but they're not the same. And I think we gave a couple weeks ago some comparisons that only this book gives you the scriptures. And I should, and the term Bible's really not the right
term.
That's
why we always use scripture, because there's all kinds of different Bibles.
Exactly.
Whatever.
And in the old, in the Hebrew scriptures, not the Old Testament, that's a wrong, you know, that's a wrong phrase. But in the Hebrew scriptures, our Lord Jesus divided them up into three. He said the law,
mm-hmm.
the prophets, and the Psalms. And that's how the division of the scriptures was done up. And the versions we hold in our hands today were done in the Hebrew scriptures, they put them in the wrong order. Isn't
that
amazing?
Yeah, that's lawless.
We put them in the wrong order. And if you want to know the right order of how the Hebrew scriptures should be, and I recommend that you read them in this order because there's a divine reason behind it, is look at the first appendices to the Companion Bible. He lists them in the right order, how they were. And remember, our Lord Jesus is the one who sealed his approval on this
mm-hmm.
by saying the law, which is Genesis through Deuteronomy, the prophets, and then the Psalms. And the Psalms included Psalms and Proverbs and Job and Daniel and a few other books, Ecclesiastes,
right.
things like that. And so the order is given by God as well. As the words themselves. And that's another important thing. It's not the thoughts that are given by inspiration. It's the words themselves.
Let's get into the words
themselves.
And we're
going to have to get into that.
I'm going to go to 2 Timothy 3:16, but, you know, we got, yeah. The other thing is, this is just an overall statement. People ask, why do you know the Bible's, the Scripture's inspired Word of God? We talked about this before, but because man would never put himself in the light that the Scripture's put man in. That, to me, that's one of the biggest signs of inspiration, is the Scriptures are an embarrassment to man. One failure after another. Man would not write it that way. We'd have us all sitting on the backs of elephants, cracking whips, and juggling pomegranates or something. I don't know. But
where'd you come up with that one?
I don't know. I just pulled that out of my fertile brain.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is Dan Sheridan, paulsevangel.com. Thanks for joining me and Zender today.
Yes, we appreciate your attendance here at our little Bible study. I'm Martin Zender. You can listen to this show. If you miss it, you can get it at martinzender.com. All the shows are archived there. You can get caught up.
And whatever you do, do not go to martinzender.com.
Don't go to martinzender.com. Thou shalt not.